put one of those codes on. You've seen those square codes with a square that, I forget what you call them. Amen? That's what it is, that too. And thank you. And cards we are supplying for churches in America. Brother Jim got a burden from Brother Stark's request that to fulfill the Great Commission, we need to put the gospel in every home in the United States. Door-to-door won't do it. I mean, I'm all for it. Amen? Right. Street preaching, scripture signs, all those things are good. But to get a scripture in every home, you have to mail it. And post offices have different routes. They number them. They know how many mailboxes are on each route. And when a pastor calls and says, I want to make a mailing of so many cards, we will print those cards and send them to them free. And if they have a web page and they can put a presentation of the gospel at the front of their web page, we'll put that code on there for people to reach their web page. If they don't, they can use ours. Our pastor has put a message, a witness, right in the front of our web page, and they can go there and see that. And so Jim's called it the Mordecai ministry. Amen? You remember when the Jews were going to be killed, and the king signed a decree that they can protect themselves, and said they sent them out with haste. Amen? Well, I believe we need to send the gospel out with haste because Jesus is coming soon. Amen? I don't know about you, but I grew up in the 50s. Amen? And I cannot sometimes fathom the change to our beloved United States of America since 1950. Amen? Just the change I've seen since I got saved in 1980. I was a truck driver, a semi-driver locally for a grocery company in Akron, Ohio. Had never been to church, had no background in church. Had a wife and two little girls. Amen? Thought I was a pretty good fella. I was faithful to my wife and worked hard. Amen. But in one store I went to, I started to find these little booklets. Amen? And I'd read them. I'd find tracts as well. But these booklets, somebody said, well, they're simple. The chick tracts are so silly. They're just, well, they must have been on my level because I read them. Amen? And after a year and a half span, I was under old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction. Man, I was burned. Amen? It was terrible. A man came to help his daughter convalesce from an operation. She was our neighbor. Her father was a Christian. I knew he was. And he invited us to go to church with him at a little church, Independent Baptist Church up the road, and we did. And on that day, I remember going in, I wouldn't go forward. I was too backward to go forward, amen? In fact, I couldn't wait for him to let me out of there. I was just on pins and needles to get out of the place. But then that following Friday night, March 14th, 1980, the pastor came to our home. My wife and I were saved. The next Sunday, we were the last ones to leave. That's the difference, amen? And I got saved because of the printed page. That's what brought me under conviction, was God's word. And I've had a burden ever since to get it distributed. A little church I started in 85 was a mail center for the Fellowship Tract League. We sent out some 15 million tracts all over the U.S., I went and worked with the Fellowship Tract League until Brother Pennington was going to retire, and then I went and pastored in Indiana, but couldn't get rid of the burden. And I received the newsletter in the church in Indiana and read it. They put a plea out for representatives, and God said, that's you. Amen? So I sold it all. I mean, we'd been married long enough. I had a lot of junk. Amen? And I had garage sales. You ever notice in garage sale, people don't think your stuff's worth what you think it is? I mean, all my gardening stuff, all my fishing stuff, all my hunting stuff, all that went, and all my wife's knickknacks. That was the worst thing. Amen? Amen. And we've been traveling ever since in a fifth wheel. That's our only home right now. Amen? And we have been in over 39 states, probably well over 2,000 churches, to present Victory Baptist Press. If you don't have a burden, don't do it. Amen. It's not as romantic as you picture it to be. Amen. We just spent a week with no water. Amen. And Anybody know what a black tank is? You ever have to deal with that? I tell you, I could write a book about things I've done with that black tank. Amen. But it's well worth it. And we're happy to be here with you tonight. Those scripture cards are for any church that has a burden, would like to see those mailed out. So pray for that if you will. Amen. And the next project is the scriptures Pastor mentioned to South America. Another 25,000 to be sent there. Amen. I'm interested in those, the Bibles we sent to Philippines was held up 2 months. And we ended up paying $4,500 to get them in the missionary's hand. Amen. He goes into a prison of 7,000 men and has a large ministry. He had 45 men doing Bible studies when he couldn't get in there with COVID. Here's what I think. If one Bible got in the hand of a man that would dedicate himself completely to the Lord, amen, how many souls will that $3 Bible mean? If one man out of 18,000 got a burden, and I know there's more than that, amen, I'm looking forward to getting to heaven and see what transpired from all the scriptures, all the things that we've been able to distribute. Amen. I wish I could have done more, but I'm just looking forward to that day. Now, there's somebody to put gospel tracts out in a grocery store in a little town called Hudson, Ohio. I don't know who they were. They didn't know who I was, so I never took them. I read them, put them right back down. Amen? But they kept putting them out. They have no idea I got saved. They have no idea, been in ministry now 40-plus years. They have no idea what God has enabled us to do to his glory. Amen? But one day they're going to find out. Won't that be a day? Amen. I imagine there'll be people there you thought would never make it. And maybe some you thought would that won't be. Amen. But it's such a privilege to serve the Lord, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
My burden is to end well.
Amen.
Doctor said the other day, well, you know, you have arthritis in your hips. I said, tell me something I don't know. They remind me of it constantly. Amen?
Yes.
That's okay. Amen? I'd rather burn up than rust out.
Yes, sir.
And that's what my wife and I are doing. We have several families of representatives. We're all missionaries raising personal support, so amen. I appreciate your prayers. Amen? And my wife, I was sorry she couldn't be here. She's a real trooper. Amen. She married a truck driver. And her prayer was, don't ask him to preach, Lord, please. God didn't answer her prayer. Amen. But she's suffered through, and she's a real trooper, and I hope you can meet her someday. Amen. Well, if you have any questions about the ministry, you know, the books out there, all the books, the price of them online is marked inside the front cover. There's several titles there. There's a Bible study, 80-topic Bible study by C.I. Schofield. He had them on cards. We put them in book form, and that's back there. There's a study on prophecy. Boy, that's big today. Amen?
Amen.
That's back there. We have the Little Baptist. That's a book that was written in the 1800s, teach Baptist principles to children. We have that. Several mission books back there as well, and all those help us to buy paper to get the printing done. So you look those over. Now, I like to say they brought us up in the 21st century. We can take cash, checks, or credit cards and debit cards. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Amen. We can do it. We can do it. Amen. All right. With that DVD made me think. I bought a home projector. It's this big. That's what I used to show things. And I told somebody, when I got it, I thought I'd better carry an 8-year-old with me to run the thing. Then I remembered how 8-year-olds are and decided not to. But we got her done. Amen. But always, seems like the devil likes to touch those things. Amen. Because he knows they're a blessing to you, and they're a blessing anyway. If you're ever down by Pensacola, there's a little college here, I know you know. But if you're ever down there in Pensacola area, you pass the Milton exit just before you cross the bay. You get off that exit, right down the street, 5 miles, you'll see Victory Baptist Church. You go in the back. If you're there in the morning, you'll meet Brother Jim. You'll see the press run. Amen. And the ministry is a great blessing. And he'll be happy to give you a little tour of the place and fill you in on what's going on. Amen. Well, if you got a Bible with you, turn with me to 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel chapter number 23. Yes, sir, we plan to be in Fort Worth, Texas during winter time. It was beautiful weather and have balmy skies and all that. Amen. My wife asked me, where'd I bring her to? Well, that's how it is because of global warming. Yeah, 2 Samuel 23, let's begin in verse number 8. I'm not going to read through all of David's mighty men, but I'm going to set a little background here. The Bible says, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Techmanite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Now, I don't know what they portray on TV, all these great actors who look like they're tough men when it's all computerized. But that guy was the real thing. Amen? Yep. I'd like to see him in a Baptist church go visiting with me or something. Verse number 9, after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, an Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines who were there gathered together to battle and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. You notice this man did a monumental feat, but it said God did it.
Yes, sir.
He didn't do it. Amen?
Amen?
All the things that we can accomplish are to his glory.
Amen.
And not ours. Can you imagine what would happen to be out on the road without God? Amen? I don't know what lost people do with this COVID thing and their fear of dying. Amen? Wouldn't that be awful? Amen? It's good to be saved. Amen. Then I want you to look in verse 11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, and Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together in a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight and thank you for the mission conference. What a special thing to your heart is missions, the souls of men. So we ask you to have your blessed will tonight speak to hearts, to our hearts, all of us. Please be pleased to meet with us tonight, dear Holy Spirit. Have your will in your way, and we'll honor you and glorify you for all that you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. I don't know if you noticed or not, but the battle of life is on. We're in a battle. The Lord has set the tone for this warfare in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Beginning in verse 3, he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He sets that with this thought, no man of worth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. I don't think God means you shouldn't take care of your home or mow your grass or take care of your car, raise your children properly, clean your house. He doesn't mean that. What he means is don't let that be the first on your throne of your heart is things. Amen? That may please him who hath chosen him be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Amen? You know, there's a lot of unlawful ministries today. They're not based in the local church. Amen. I was in a church, I won't tell you where, and my pastor had, years before, had done a mission conference at BBF Church in Texas. And when I went in, a young man came and introduced himself to me. He said, I'm the pastor. I was the youth pastor, and they made me pastor. I didn't want to be. Okay. They had an early service, Sunday school, and an afternoon service, or later service. And the first service was the country music service. They came in and had a pretty good crowd for it, and he preached, actually, let me present the work. Then they had the Sunday school, and then the next crowd was the contemporary crowd. Now, I knew I was in trouble when I went in and looked, and all the whole inside was black. Yep. Ceiling was black. And they had one of them balls with all the mirrors on it. I knew something was wrong right away. Amen? So I just told my wife, you sit, and I'll sit, and we'll just... But they love printing. Amen? So that's okay with me. But, man, when they started that service, there was people hopping and bopping everywhere. I mean, they were dancing up and down the aisles. I told my wife, you sit still, we ain't doing nothing. Amen? When they said amen, we went out the table, and they came by and loved the printing, and that's good. That's one of the times I was happy in this ministry I get to leave. There have been a lot of times I didn't want to leave, but that was one time I got to. And I thought, where have we gone? Amen? So we're in a battle. The Bible says a husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. The reason I think we're facing what we're facing in this matter of Independent Baptist Church, and Brother Jim has written several articles on the fact that we're losing ground as far as numbers. I think you understand that. Amen? And the reason I think it is because a lot of the leaders just aren't saved. Because if you are saved, God's not going to permit you to do those things. He chastens his children. Amen? He won't sit back and just watch. Now, I can't say, because I can't see their heart, God does, but their testimony says so to me. Amen? And the Bible says, consider what I say, the Lord give thee understanding in all things. We're given just a small portion to defend. It's a lentil patch. Amen? A lentil patch is a bean patch. Inconsequential. In fact, when that man found himself standing in the middle of it, nobody cared because there's other bean patches around. Amen? But somehow he felt this is the most important bean patch on the face of the earth. And I guarantee you when it was done, he left it. But because he was there, because he had a call from God to stand and do what he was called to do, he counted that bean patch to be the most important place. And God has given you and I a bean patch. Amen? 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says, God hath given us a spirit, had not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If we've ever been in a day when mental problems abound, this is the day. Now understand this, because you're a Christian doesn't exempt you from those things. I'm talking depression, anxiety. Amen? There's no particular way to hang your head and feel bad. Amen? But I believe this. I believe God's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we ask and think. I believe the devil wants to attack your mind. That is your bean patch. Amen? But God said we've been given a sound mind. Turn to Romans 12, if you will. Romans chapter number 12. A sound mind. Boy, I'll tell you, today... America has more health care than any people have ever known, and we're the sickest bunch on the face of the earth. I go in the doctor, and he says, well, here's a pill, and here's another. I'm getting sick of taking pills. Amen? You got this pill, you got that pill. You say, well, this hurts. Well, here, take this pill. They throw more pills at you. Amen? And we are pilled up, so to speak. In America, I'm afraid. Romans 12, look at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Yes, sir. If you're a Christian, God has given you a measure of faith. Come on. That's right. But it is not forever. Mm-hmm. Amen? Right. Faith cometh, faith goeth. There's something God has given us to strengthen our faith. Something the devil is fighting with everything he has. Amen? And I'm afraid he's doing a pretty good job of it. Amen? See, Proverbs 23, verse 7 starts with, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." You want to judge how you're doing in this matter of your lentil patch? Then think what goes through your mind. Now, let me say this. Every one of us have things zap into our mind that are disgusting and that we can't even believe it's in our mind. Amen? But you can dismiss it. You can ask God to clear your mind. You can reject it. And God will do so. Amen? So I'm not saying you're not going to have those times when those things come through. If you're walking downtown, you know, you go in Walmart and people are there half-dressed, it directs your attention. But I heard a preacher one time say he was in Walmart and saw a lady with some of them real tight britches on. Said it looked like two Volkswagens side by side. Amen. You might as well laugh right there. Amen. I mean, they go to Walmart dressed like they're getting ready to go to bed or get up or something. Amen. My mom, it took her an hour to get ready to go to the grocery store.
Oh yeah.
Amen. That's just my pet peeve. I don't want to get off the wagon here. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, the Bible says this. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing as he ought to know. Amen. About the time you think you've arrived, you read through your Bible so many times, you got that card down there. You know, reading through your Bible in a year is a good thing, and marking those off is a good thing. But I think it'd be better to read it to get it than to read it fast. Now, I know a good brother, he's a great man, and he's going to read through the Bible in a month. And I think that's great. Go ahead. Amen. But listen, with my mind, you read through a month, you're not going to remember none of it. I got to pound it in. Amen. And that's why you've got to take and read respectfully and purposefully when you read your Bible. Amen. Because if you think you've arrived, that's when the devil is going to try his best. Amen? Yeah. I was driving the truck here the other day. I had to go get propane, and Weatherford was the only place I could find a place that had any, so I got over there real quick in the truck, and they filled the bottle up. And I noticed when I left the house, the engine light come on in my truck. That's a 2015, Ford diesel truck. Engine light come on. Now, I have to have that truck pull that trailer. So I stopped a Ford dealer and said, "Can you put this on the scope? It's $140. I said, "Well, I got to know what it is. I don't want to drive it down the road, blow it up." So they put it on the scope, and he said it's a thermostat and something else. Some ball thing was cracked. I don't know what it was. Amen? He said, "We have the parts." I said, "Well, fix it. I got to have it." $900. Amen. When that engine light come on, I said, "What in the world now?" Amen. I mean, I'm sitting in the truck driving. What is happening? I don't understand. And all of a sudden, it's like God tapped me and said, "Shut up." I said, "I know you got this in control, Father." And on the way back from getting that propane, I drove right by a Ford dealer, pulled in. They had the parts. They fixed it. And I'm driving now. You say, "Is that a blessing?" You better know it. Yeah, but it costs nine. Well, God, give me the $900. Amen. If he give it to me, he knows how to spend it. Amen. So that was good. But I tell you, I've had the hardest time I have is when somebody comes up behind me and beeps a horn. There's something in me against that. Amen. And I had magnetic scripture signs on the back of the truck. I had to replace them. They dried out. But when they do that, I'd start pulling away real slow. My wife says, "You've got scripture signs." Oh, okay. So I'd go on. I mean, we're not all there yet. And I certainly am not. Amen?
Amen?
Not there yet for sure, okay? As we grow in our salvation, we often become complacent in the assessment of our thoughts as to our mindset in spiritual things. The Bible assures us in Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Amen. There's people that go to church because there's fellowship. And there's nothing wrong with that, to have fellowship. But that isn't enough. Amen. You got to have a love of preaching. Amen. Now, I've heard a lot of preaching, a lot of different kinds of preaching. Amen. And I've heard it said, and I agree with it, you can preach me to the altar, but you can't preach me to the house. Amen. And that's just, I just love God's word. Amen. Our thoughts, then, are an indication of our current condition. The place to judge our state, then, is in our own thoughts. Remember what it says in Mark 7, 21 through 23. It says, for from within, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And we all have them in that natural man, that lost man on the inside, that natural man, rather. Amen? But thank God we have a new nature. And God has given us that to defeat that. You know why? Because people out there need to see somebody real. They need to see you when the bottom drops out. You walk by faith, not by sight. Because that will draw them to your Savior. We need to prove to them, very simply, it's better to be saved than it is to be lost. Isn't that what we're here to do? Amen. That's a great burden that you and I carry. We then must acknowledge to the Lord the truth from inside of us. Remember Romans 2:13 says, for not the hearers of the law are justified before God, but the doers of the law are justified. A little later it says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. It's the conscience that bears witness. That's what the Holy Spirit uses, our conscience, to bear witness. Amen? You know when you've done wrong. If you're saved, you know it. Amen? Sometimes it's awfully embarrassing, I know that, but we do know when we've done wrong. The means of securing our cleansing also is the blood of Christ, as you're well aware of. Hebrews 9, verse 14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We need our conscience purged from time to time. Amen? Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter how famous we are, how popular we are. Amen? We need to have our conscience purged. That's when God, the Holy Spirit, does his work, but he uses something to do it. Amen? He uses something to do it. Hebrews tells us, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We're to come in full assurance of faith. How do you do that? How do you believe? If I were to ask you, I mean, God says believe all the time in the Bible. Would he do that and not tell us how? How do you believe? Amen? I mean, when I first got saved, I was concerned about eternal security. And so I read every kind of evangelist book I get my hands on. They all saying true verses. But I couldn't get it settled till I went to the author. And I spent all night one night in prayer. I read the book of 1 John, book of John, and prayed and read and prayed. When I left that building in the morning, I could say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I believed and am persuaded. He's able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. He persuaded me how? By faith. And that's believing. Amen. But if someone says, well, I just find it hard to live the Christian life. Well, first you have to be saved. Secondly, you have to have faith. And faith is based in believing. But you can't believe on your own. Because you can't have faith on your own. Amen? We will always face the need to examine ourselves and maintain our pure motives for this battle. There's a means by which we maintain the proper thought life. Turn with me to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. And look with me in verse 10. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where our battle is. Amen? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Then notice this one, kind of in passing, and the helmet of salvation.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You know what that helmet's for? Protect your bean patch.
Come on.
Amen? It's to protect your bean patch. Now, I've taught in a lot of places how to leave a church. There's two ways. One way is to be forced to move away. The second one is be carried out.
Come on.
If we're people of God and we know God, the creator of everything, whose power is endless, and we have a little to do with the pastor, how come we can't go to God and get it cleared up?
Come on.
Amen? Because God will either change him or change us. If Christians did that, think of this. You could sick God on your pastor. If Christians did that, do you know how big some churches would be?
Yep. Right.
Amen? It's amazing to me how Christians handle things. Amen? First thing, when you get upset, leave your phone alone.
Amen?
Amen. Go into prayer. Tell God.
Amen.
That's the way to do it. Amen? And that is what is based in faith. Amen? That's how we, you know, I look at life like a corn maze where I'm raised. Corn raised is about 10 feet tall. And in the fall, sometimes they'll cut pathways through it and then sideways get you kind of lost, and they do that as a Halloween thing. But our life's the corn maze. Your maze is different than anyone else's because you're different. Your genetic code is different except for your brothers and sisters. Your life experiences is different than anyone else's. And then you got saved and you thought that took care of it all, and it didn't. It saved your soul, but it still made you you, and you still got to grow. And so you're going through a maze of life, and you need God's direction to successfully navigate the maze to get to the end where Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, what I'm telling you is God has given us something, amen, to accomplish this. First, you know it's the indwelling Holy Spirit. We understand that, amen. And be saved, born again, washed in the blood. Ephesians 5:26, the Bible says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of water by the word. The most important thing you have in your hand, in your life, is that Bible. And I'm talking the King James Bible.
Amen.
That's the most important thing you have in your life. Don't you dare neglect it. Read it. You say, how much should I read every day? I don't know. Amen. Ask God. Amen. I mean, I'm sure God would rather have you read one chapter and really concentrate and meditate on God's word than to read half the Bible in a sitting. I'm just saying, amen, that to renew your mind is by the washing of water by the word. You know what that is? It reminds me of the first computer I had. I'm old enough. Somebody built me my first computer, brought it in, sat it down, filled up my whole desk. And the crazy thing, it gets slower and slower. And I called him. I said, what's wrong with this thing? He said, mash this button. So I did. And up come this square with all these colored squares all mixed up. And I said, what's the matter with that? He said, you got to defrag it.
Uh-oh.
What? Yeah, you got to defrag it. Now, what that meant was is the computer would pull a program off the motherboard and put it back in a different place. So by the time you went too far, they were all scattered, and you'd open that program, and you'd have to get here and there and over there and over, take it forever to do it. Defragging it, put it all back together where it ought to be.
Right.
Do you realize this world does nothing but defrag you?
Come on.
Amen? I mean, you'll go in a store, and they'll play a song from 30 years ago, and that thing will be in your head. You have to ask God to help you get rid of it. Amen? I mean, defect. You'll see things that are. I mean, it's awful. You can't live behind walls and protect yourself. You got to go out into society, and this society stinks. Amen. So the only way you can do it is you got to defrag your mind, defragment it, get it back where God is in the leadership and on the throne, and you're following Him with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That includes being faithful to church. Amen. Whether in these hard times like we have now, whether it's online or physically in the church, amen. But I'll tell you, I told your pastor, I think, a story. We were back in the ministry in March for Easter. That's one time pastor has communion. So I'm back for that and to restock books. And a COVID thing hit. Everybody's going to die. And so they said, you have to stay. Pastor said, we'll do what they say and not have service. I'll be online. I said, okay. So I'm sitting in a parking lot with this iPad watching the service. They said, well, let's sing. And there were people there. I said, forget you, buddy. That night we went to church, amen? Because there's something about being in church that makes a difference, amen? And when your body doesn't want to go, drag yourself there to the glory of God, amen? That's something about being in church. So you've got this lentil patch that God wants you to defend, amen? He wants you to defend it to the death, that mind of yours. If you find yourself, listen, if you need medication, I am not against that at all. There are folks that need medication. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Amen. But God wants to clear your mind. Amen. He wants you to be an example and testimony to your family and friends of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And He has given you the one thing that builds faith, the indwelling Holy Spirit. But this is His voice, the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Now you see the burden. Brother in South America, when he went into some churches, he was in several churches. The only people who owned the Bible was the pastor. Wouldn't that be a sad thing to be a Christian, not have a Bible? How are you going to grow? Amen. So he has pictures of whole churches standing outside the church holding up their Bibles, their brand new Bibles. Amen. Tears in their eyes. Amen? Yes. See, that's what drives us, to get the Word of God out. Christians need it. Amen? Amen? And that's why we do what we do. Well, let me ask you, how's your bean patch? God be happy with your bean patch tonight? Yeah. Amen? I mean, the news will mess up your bean patch. Amen? Well, I'll tell you, the news is sick, isn't it, anymore? Amen. They'll do it. Now, I'm not saying you don't want to watch news or get caught up, but remember this, that ain't spiritual. Be careful. Amen? What is causing the independent Baptists? I mean, I heard stories about the 60s and the 70s. When these guys had started a church, I had a friend named Ken Love. He'd start a church, and a year and a half later, he built a brand new building. Amen? Now, I knew him for years. I've met him when I was first saved and when he had that bus. And he'd go into a town, rent a house, have a Bible study downstairs. A year and a half or 2 years, he'd build a building. He told me something changed in the 80s. And he couldn't do that anymore. Now he went into churches that were closing up and opened them back up again. The last one he did was right before he went home. I talked to him. He said, well, I'm asking God where to go next. God told him, go on home. Amen? That's where he is. But he could build a church and see it thrive and grow that quickly. Amen? Something happened between then and now. America changed. People have changed. Amen? We have lost America now. We've lost the fear of God. So you come with the gospel, they have no fear. But the Bible, the Word of God, can do the job. Amen. Let's pray. Father, missions is the most important thing to your heart, I believe, because missions is the world, your creation. Your desire, Lord, is for men and women to be called to God and sent to the mission field with support through local churches that love them and pray for them, to see souls saved and churches planted. And I believe, Lord, the devil hates it. And that's why oftentimes a missions conference may not be the best attended, because people look at it like you're asking for money. But there's a truth there, Lord. It takes finances to do missions. So we ask you to bless your people here in this church tonight as they consider what they'll do this year for missions. I pray that you will speak to their hearts in a meaningful way and let them know that if they get an amount from you, you are able to supply that amount for them. And pray that you'll bless. Now, how's our bean patch? Every one of us must answer that question, Lord. How is it tonight? If we find the walls are broken down, we need to come to an old-fashioned altar and ask you to strengthen us once again, to forgive us. So I pray, perhaps you'll put someone on our heart that we see is heading the wrong direction. We should come and pray for them. Whatever the need might be, I pray this will be the night we'll bring it to the altar of God and see your powerful works go forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stand with me if you will. First thing I'm going to ask you is this. If you died today, do you know you go to heaven?
Yes, sir.
I believe you can know. Amen. If you don't know, I got good news for you. You can know.
Amen.
And you can know tonight. I would encourage you to talk to your pastor and ask him to help you, and he will. Let me tell you this, 40 years, well, since 1980, I've been saved. I've never once regretted it. My family, most of them aren't saved. Amen? So the relationship was hard, not because they don't love me, they do, but I was kind of pain in the neck when I was there. Not because I hammered them with the Bible, it's just who I've represented. Amen? But still, this is the best life. And I'm glad to be saved.
Amen.
If you're here tonight and you're saved, how's that bean patch doing?
Yeah.
Don't lie to God. Nobody is going to judge you for coming to an altar.
Yeah. No, sir. No, sir.
Amen. Because we have nothing to judge you about. A lot to judge ourselves for. As the music starts, I'm going to give you the opportunity to come. You step out from where you are. Brother, what's the... Just as I am. You sing along if you... Got a burden to come to the altar, you come. Amen? Let's sing the first verse.
Just as I am.
Amen. God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all you ask and think. Never a reason to be embarrassed for going to the altar, because that is God working in your heart. What a blessing.
Would you bow your heads tonight, every head bowed, and every eye closed as the instruments play softly? Listen, if you didn't need to come tonight, would you ask God again right now, Lord, what do you want me to do this year for missions? Just, Lord, would you put the amount on my heart? I want to challenge some of you that you'd let God raise that amount you've been giving. not be content to just give what you have given, but to go beyond that. Would you just ask God what He would have you to do, please?